has kept me being settled in my ways. Trauma's behavior changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For he knows the perfect plans for your life. Be transformed.
Welcome to the Be Transformed podcast. We're your hosts, Teresina Marie.
And I'm Linda FW2. Get ready to be transformed. With God, we choose the renewing of our minds and the renewing of our hearts
to embark upon the best day of our lives.
We're so excited to see everyone. This is a treat.
And it is the season of singleness. You know what? Everyone who's out there who's single, whether you know you're single by divorce, whether you're single by choice, this is going to be a really great series. This is a Be Transformed moment. Okay. Yes. So get ready to receive. And you know what? Communicate. Say hello. Let us know that you're here. This is a community.
So let's get started.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with a prayer.
Let's do it.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence, Lord God. Lord God, we are so grateful and thankful for all that you continue to do, Lord God. And in this moment, in this time, Lord God, we remove ourselves. We ask that you search our hearts, yes. Take any and everything out that's not like you. Come in and just have your way. Yes. This is a season, God, that you said that we should be content in all circumstances. So God, we come before you with our circumstances and we say thank you for contentment. We say thank you for being with us during our journeys of life. And Lord, we put you first in all things. And I just ask that this day, this season, be a blessing to each and every person who gathers with us, whether they're watching the recording live or later. I just want to say thank you. And I ask that you bless each and every one of them with your word and your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We needed that. All right. Okay. So this is a series on singleness.
Yes.
And first up is the season of solitude. Just living in solitude. What is that? What does that look like? And living in a season of solitude is not the most comfortable for everyone. It's something that we have to learn to embrace. And actually, this is a great pair you guys have, because we have two different perspectives. We have Linda, who's been single her, you know, entire adult life. She's had relationships, but not necessarily, you know, a marriage. And me, I've always been tied down in some kind of relationship and in marriage for 14 years. And so having the perspective of living in solitude for long term, and then also coming from living in companionship to having to learn how to embrace solitude. So that's what you guys are going to get from us. First off, the definition of single. What does single mean? How is it defined? And so when you look up the word single, it's defined as only one, not several. Okay. Only one, not several. So that's the first mindset that we have to embrace, because it's not just when we're in a season of solitude, it's about, okay, I don't have a husband. I don't have a companion. I'm not in a partnership. Sometimes a season of solitude is not just about purging how we are in our love life, but it's also about purging those friendships, purging those family relationships, purging those work environments that's not meant for us. It's about being single. And we'll find ourselves single in so many ways, especially when God has pulled you into a season of solitude so that he can elevate you into the next phase of your life. In order to be elevated into our next phase of our life, there's a singleness that's beyond just, you know, having a spouse or having a significant other.
That's true. That's very true. And you know what I love about the word? We're looking at Philippians 4. Verses 12 through 13. And it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, mm-hmm. whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So God has called us in every circumstance to be content. And in this dissecting this whole person in singleness, one thing that I've learned through God's word is that when you're single, you're whole. This journey of a relationship with Christ. This mm-hmm. is a journey of relationship. God calls us to be in relationship. So to be single is a good time to be mm-hmm. in a strong, solid, loving relationship with God and with others. And he talks about that in the first commandment, is to love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. That is the first commandment. And the second commandment is to love your neighbors as you love yourself. So God is saying that regardless of where you are, right, our first goal is to love him with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and to be in relationship with him. And I believe that a strong relationship with God will lead me to a strong relationship with the person that God blesses me with. I believe that for myself.
So you mentioned something really, you know, you said that we're called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we find ourselves single again because we have not learned how to love ourselves yes. before we can love our neighbor, our partner,
yes,
our spouse, yes, the yes. person who's called to be our helpmate and a helpmate to that person, right? So when we're in a season of solitude, that's where that growth begins. And so when you mm-hmm. seek that relationship that Linda's referring to, when you seek that relationship with God, God is going to start working on you. You know, you're going to start feeling these convictions about behaviors and characteristics and things mm-hmm. that you will get a revelation like, I want to change this. You know, yes. I mean, there's a lot of things that I started shifting. I was no longer attracted to the same social environments that I used to go to. I stopped drinking just because I lost the taste, not because it was like, I'm making a decision to stop drinking. There was a molding, you know, he's the potter, right? And so there was mm-hmm. a molding that was occurring so that I can begin to develop and grow into the best version of myself, begin to love who I am. And so once I can love who I am, once I can become happy in who I am, once I take ownership of my own happiness, then I can love and emit and cast out happiness to someone else, right?
Yes,
but I think that we walk in life too often approaching relationship as if this person needs to make me happy or mm-hmm. this person needs to make me feel loved, right? Yes, mm-hmm. we want to feel happiness and we want to feel love in a partnership. Just like Linda said, we're called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So we first have to learn and know how to love ourselves first. And so I can tell you, let me tell you, in my singleness, in these last 5 years, honey, I've been dating myself, okay?
Yes.
I take myself to spa treatments alone. I take myself to dinner alone. I'll go sit at the bar top with my mocktail, watching a game, you know, and my meal, you know, right after work. I'll do all those things. I've taken myself to plays. I have learned to live life mm-hmm. alone. Mm-hmm. In a happy way, not in a yearning way, and not in a thirsty way. Like I'm enduring life alone. I'm not enduring life alone. I'm living life. When you begin living life and you find happiness, you know, just in the season that God has called you to, and you're not, you know, yearning and desperate and thirsty for a partner, but you're being obedient and you're walking in that season that God's called us to the solitude. And you're, when you're walking in that and you're working on your happiness and you're working on loving yourself and you're working on developing yourself, then as you grow and develop and become who you're called to be, then what is meant for you will naturally be attracted to you. But you can't get there until you've become who you're meant to be. We have to first become.
I agree. And I believe that singleness is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to experience a sacred journey with God, right? It's a gift that I know, and I know married women are on this live, and I know that I talk to married women all the time, that they always say, embrace singleness, right? And men, embrace this journey, embrace this. Because once you're Once you're married, it's a different type of responsibility that you have in addition to, you know, maintaining, you know, Terry, you've been married before. This is what I learned in studying just this single journey. The alignment is so important. Mm-hmm. And anytime we do things, if we're single and we're not in alignment, it's all bad.
Yeah.
If we're married and it's all bad. So either way.
Yeah.
We have to come to God first. Yes. And so in this journey, when the Bible says the first commandment, it says, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. For me, I had to like check myself. Am I doing that? Am I really, okay, what does that really look like? And that is the beginning for all prophets, all believers. That is our foundation. Anything after that, the commandments are built on that. Right. So for me, I'm saying, God, take me back to the foundation. Teach me how to love and how to seriously seek you and love you with all my heart. I want to experience God in that way as a single woman, because I know that whether I'm married or not, I still need God. And here's the thing about like doing things alone. I've been doing things alone for a long time. I don't consider them alone. I don't necessarily say like, oh, I've gone to the movies by myself. Like that's just like, it's just something that I'm comfortable with doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever really truly feel alone because I'm talking to, you know, the person next to me.
Right.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I have a good time.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's the thing. Being single doesn't equate to loneliness.
Yes.
And so if you allow those thoughts to infiltrate, then yeah, you will feel that weight of being by yourself. You will feel the weight of yearning and you know, just desiring to have someone, being codependent, you know? And when we're called to singleness, you said, okay, it's a gift. It's our opportunity to seek God, right? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? What does it look like to experience and truly seek them? You know, you were saying that what it looks like is actually challenging ourselves to walk in the principles that he's called us to. Mm-hmm. So when we're called to a season of singleness, we're called to a challenge. When we're called to solitude, we're called to a challenge. Just like Jesus, before he even started his ministry, right? Before he would even let it out, you know, and he went into the wilderness. He was called. He had no one with him, right? To those 40 days in the wilderness so that he can be challenged and tested, you know, with all those tempting desires and different things. Where is your character that is going to take you into the next season of your life, right? So when Linda's saying, yeah, you know, it's a time to seek God with all our hearts. It's a time to challenge ourselves and allow God to do his work so that we can transform into who we need to be for when the next stage of our life comes. So when we are called to be in companionship, in marriage with someone, we can be that person who understands how to be kind, how to be forgiving, how to love unconditionally. You know, how to be meek in our ways at times, you know, how to be compromising and understanding. Some of us don't know how to do that. Let's keep it all the way real. Some of us don't even know how to talk to folk right. Right. Yeah, that was my issue. I'm not even going to lie. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it all the way real. You know, there are reasons why some of us are single and there are things that we need to overcome because we don't necessarily, we haven't been able to get out of our own way.
Okay.
We've been walking in setting our ways. This is how I am. Accept me for who I am. You know, how's that work?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Life is ever evolving. We're always evolving. We're always growing. We're always becoming. So in a season of solitude, let's take a hard reflection in the mirror and identify, okay, that may not have been the best situation I was in. And I'm not going to take away from whatever happened with that relationship and why it didn't work and how I felt disrespected. I'm not going to take that away. However, I am going to take a moment to reflect on my behaviors and say, were there moments where I wasn't representing the best of me? Were there moments where I really wasn't walking, talking, and treating my marriage as the compassionate wife I could have been, right? Were there moments where I really didn't put up a fight to hold on? Did I let my spouse feel unwanted, unworthy at times? You know, we need to take hard looks in the mirror. And sometimes that's hard in the beginning, especially when you're first coming out of a relationship, because the emotions are high, the scar is still there. But once you've gotten through a place of healing, let's challenge ourselves and really reflect. And so being in solitude gives you that moment. It's like, okay, not only are we reflecting on the characteristics of ourselves, but what's pouring into that, right?
Yes.
What environments do we need to remove away from? What friendships are having a bad influence that really are not healthy for our lives? What work environments are maybe not the best in creating a lot of undue stress in our lives that's really not conducive to personal growth, professional growth, family love? It's an all-out assessment of who you really want to be and who you're called to be, and allowing God to reveal that through revelation, through seeking that relationship and allowing God to speak to you.
And I agree wholeheartedly with that, because God is in our singleness in this journey. It is the, like I said, he desires relationship with us. He's interested in relationships with us, right? Strong relationships with us. So what happens when we allow ourselves to focus on our relationship with God? We hear his voice clear. We get our directions. He is stripping us of things that are not like him. He's building us. He's restoring us. He's doing all of these wonderful things just because we've decided to have a relationship with him. And so as a result, I believe as a result of that, you know, if God decides that we get married, or he grants that blessing for us, I think that we would have had good practice, right? Because when we have that strong relationship with him, even in marriage, we still have the relationship and we can hear his voice, where he can say, be gentle to your husband or your wife. He can say, silence, quiet, listen. He can direct our path, like in the relationship. But what if that's not God's desire for our life? What if singleness is the journey that he's called us on?
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of prophets in the Bible that talks about strong single people who made an impact. Paul, for example, there's a lady by the name of Anna, who was married for 7 years, and then she became widowed and she was single. Her mission and her goal was to serve the Lord with all her heart and to lead people to God until she was 84. That was her life journey, is to serve God. Can we be content in those moments? If that's what God has called us to do, can we find contentment in that? In my journey of singleness and just developing a stronger relationship with God, there is nothing more that I want than to have God at the forefront. Like, I'm nothing without him. I don't want to make any moves without him. And if God has called me to be single for the rest of my life, I will serve him. I will serve him. That is my truth.
And that's what it is, being content in every circumstance. I think that when we're content and obedient in the season that we're called to, we find our purpose. God reveals our purpose. And then when we're walking in our purpose, we're fulfilled. We're whole, right? We don't need a relationship to make us whole, right? I think that's what we need to separate, is that being in a partnership, a companionship, a marriage, that's a benefit. That's a gift that God gives us. Our purpose is destined regardless, right? So being content in every circumstance is saying that I will fulfill the will that is ordained over my life no matter what. And if you're focused on that, then there's going to be a fulfillment. There's going to be a satisfaction, a happiness that we find within ourselves. Again, it goes back to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We have to love ourselves first before we can love anyone else. Loving ourselves first is being happy in our purpose, walking in who we're called to be in life, being content in where we are. And that's in every circumstance. It goes back to the good scripture. If you guys didn't write that down, that was Philippians 4, 12 and 13.
You know, I remember when my mindset was different before the mental transformation happened for me, when I thought a relationship was what I needed to be successful or to be happy or to be whole and complete. I remember thinking, I don't ever want to buy a house because I want to buy a house with my husband. Yeah. I don't ever want to make too much money because by the time my husband finds me, I don't want to, you know, overshadow him and then have money issues.
Right.
and then I'm like, this is mine. You know, I want us to do this together. And I remember the anxiousness in my mindset was, I was literally holding myself back, right? And then in relationships, I remember being a person who thought I was completely healed from some of my past traumas until I was triggered, right? And then just knowing how I could spiral.
Yeah.
Like a trigger could spiral. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a trigger from like the person. It could be a trigger that may have happened in my personal life with family members, or you know, that caused me to feel some type of way that, you know, the reaction was just, it just wasn't healthy.
Right.
And for me, my prayer has been, God, before I go into any relation, other, you know, companionship, I don't want that. I don't want to take that with me anymore. But here's the thing. I'm in relationship with so many people. Mm-hmm. And I have healthy relationships with the people that are in my life. I have a wonderful family, friends. I have good people in my life. So every day I'm realizing that I'm selective, right? I'm intentional about the relationship building because I truly value and I hold dear to my heart healthy relationships.
Right.
Right. So whether it's companionship, God didn't say, you know, he wants us to be in relationship with people, not necessarily companionship, although, you know, he wants the best for us either way, but companionship, relationship. It is so important that we as single people, healthy, whole people, have good relationships with others. If we can have good relationships with others, we can have good relationships in our marriages, right? Mm-hmm. In our homes. Mm-hmm. We need to.
Well, it goes back to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
As you love yourself.
So how we're, you know, being in a season of solitude and practicing relationship far as with your friendships, with your family, how are you responding to certain circumstances? How are you treating people? Are we being kind? That is what is going to help you embody who you are in a daily partnership. It's not easy living with somebody. It's not easy growing with someone because you don't necessarily grow at the same pace. And so we have to have grace. We have to have patience. We have to have understanding for each other, you know, because there may be a season where we're growing in different directions and one's in a level of maturity higher than the other, or, you know, vice versa. The alignment isn't always exactly the same. When you have an understanding, when you understand how to be in communication with people, how to treat others, then that's just going to pour into your daily practice of who you have to live with. I'm practicing that actually. I hope, you know, my kids right now, actually. So. Listen, I don't know what it is about our kids, but the kids can make you pop off. Right? Kids can just make you go from 0 to 1,000 real quick, frustration. And so I've been trying to, you know, I used to be a yeller. I was raised, my mother, that's all she did was yell. She just yelled. So it's like a language. It was like a language, you know, and I did it. I just, you know, if the dishes weren't clean, why aren't the dishes clean? Why have to tell you, you know, it was just automatic. And it's not conducive to a healthy living environment. You know, it creates stress in the home. It creates attitudes in the home. And so I started noticing that as, you know, my son, my 15-year-old, was growing into preteen and now teenager, I noticed how he would wake up like with an attitude. But I would always wake them up with an attitude because I'm frustrated that I got to wake them up. And, you know, listen, you know, at this age, you should be waking yourself up. Right. So I had to check myself. So I've been practicing now on everything, whether it's related to grades, waking up, I go in, you know, and I'm waking them up calmly. You know, it's a brand new day. You know, wake up, the sun's shining, you've been given life, you know, singing a little good morning song instead of me getting irritated, you know, like he was on punishment for letting one of his grades slip. Right. I told him, okay, well, you can't go to the basketball courts, you know, at the park with your friends after school. Don't ask me to go ride your bike and meet up with them because until you pick that grade back up. Well, he calls me. I'm on a walk and he says, Mom, when you get back, you know, I'm going on the bike ride. And instead of me saying, what did I say? Didn't I tell you? This is how I would normally talk. I said, son, that grade hasn't come up yet. So you know what the agreement is, you know, and I just did it nice and calm. You know what the agreement is. So get in there, figure out what you need to do. But until that grade comes up, then you're not taking the bike ride. So if you want to go next week, get those missing assignments in. And I said it just like that. And I was so proud of myself because that's an accomplishment. When you can just maintain a level of communication that's going to nurture a positive response instead of incite conflict, right? Because that's what it does. It'll incite an argument. It'll incite defense mechanisms for the other person. And honestly, I brought that into my marriage because, like I said, I was raised. My mother she yelled all the time. And that's what we would do. It was like, you know, if you did something wrong, you raised your voice. That's just what it was. Mm-hmm. And I did that, you know, with my oldest son, just raising him. And I brought that into my marriage. And it does. It creates a lot of unnecessary petty argument in a relationship when your response is always at a volume that can make the other person feel challenged or threatened or intimidated in some way, when it may not necessarily be that, but it does come off as you always have an attitude, or that you're never satisfied, or you're not happy. And that's poison to an environment. So communication and understanding, practicing this stuff on friends and family, like you said, is going to help transform who we are as a whole. We're going to just begin to exude that person. And again, that falls back to seeking Christ, right? Yeah. So if I want to be like Christ, Christ is, you know, Jesus was, he calls to be meek in our ways, you know? And so if I'm seeking Christ, then I'm working on those things that are unlike him. Those aren't what we're called to be kind. We're called to be patient. Those weren't behaviors that I necessarily exuded before.
Yeah. So I was the threatening mom. I was all talk and no, nothing. Just, I'm a watch when we get home. So I had to learn to not be a threatening mom. No, seriously.
Sorry.
I had to learn that threats were just as bad as hitting.
Absolutely.
Seriously. Like, and I was like, oh, you know, I didn't think that was a bad thing because I wasn't actually hitting her. I was just threatening her.
But it's still trauma.
Yeah, especially when a child is like, as an adult though, I had to learn that even that in a relationship, you can't threaten to leave. You can't threaten to go. Threaten to give up. You can't threaten to stop, you know, because that's trauma and that's abuse. Mm-hmm. That's another form of abuse. And I know that I've had that. Well, just forget it. We don't have to do this. Won't go.
And that breaks down the bond of trust. Right.
Absolutely.
But then it also goes back to right now in solitude, learning ourselves, loving ourselves, growing ourselves, because then we won't end up in relationships where we have one foot out the door.
Right. And you know what comes to me? every day, but in my prayer, and even when I deal with my child or the people in my life, the one thing that God deals with me is that I don't give up on you. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me going in the relationships that I love and that I hold dear to my heart. Right. Even when I'm hurt, or if I hurt them or they hurt me, God says, forgive because I've forgiven you. Mm-hmm. Give grace Absolutely. Because I've given you grace.
Yeah.
Love anyway because I love you anyway.
Yep.
That is, for me, everything. Mm-hmm. And I could see the relationships that I have that are really, really strong. I know that a lot of it is because it's a reciprocated, of course, relationship, but it's because in this journey, in this solitude of singleness, God is working on me. He's teaching me to push through.
Right.
He's teaching me to be that more than a conqueror. He's teaching me to deal with, you know, adversity and how to push, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that, you know, like we said earlier, we can't be, you know, fumbling out here, you know, but everything at the end of the day, it starts with our relationship with God. It starts with Christ being the head of our lives.
Head of our lives, and we're seeking everything. His ways.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say Christ is the head of their life, but you're not challenging yourself and seeking his ways. We have to become, we have to transform, we have to walk in who we're called to be. So we can't just say, you can't just say, yeah, I'm a woman or I'm a man of God, and you're out here doing what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a woman or you're a man of God, you're challenging yourself to walk in his ways, and that's a sacrificial walk. And that's why we're called to a season of solitude, because we have to be sacrificial in transforming our ways, becoming the best version of ourselves so we can be the best for somebody else.
I want to hear from everyone who's on live. We have a good little number going here. Mm-hmm. For those that are married or single, if you're married, I would love to hear, what would you have done differently prior to marriage in your singleness? And if you're single, what are you doing now? Mm-hmm. As a single, like, what is your solitude of singleness look like? And then we have a quick game that we're going to play.
If you're taking notes, again, this is about solitude, scripture. We're talking be content in every circumstance. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
Yes, Lord. Okay?
So content, you know, in every circumstance, knowing what it is to lack and not to lack. So being content in every circumstance, meaning knowing what it is to have been in partnership, knowing what it is to be in solitude and be content, you know?
Yeah.
There's Tony. Tony said, prior to being married, I would have loved to be single. I went from my mom's house, grandfather's house, to me and my husband's relationship and married. So I never been alone. See? You know, it's so, isn't it? I love getting this feedback, because isn't it so opposite from, you know, those who have been in companionship all their life and haven't experienced it from those who have, you know, it's like each side sometimes yearns for the other, you know, and it just shows us how much God is calling us to be in content in the life that he's blessed us with, you know?
Yes. I love that Maya said intentional about all relationships. That is so true. Hello, Alicia from Belize.
Hey.
Hello. How are you, Antoinette? Let's see, Antoinette, being single for me has been taking a step back and getting to know myself. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what I said, girl. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you was on earlier. That's getting what I said. You know, I date myself and I have a ball, you know? And Tony said, but I'm 30 years plus married. There you go. You know what I mean? So that's one where, Linda, what you were talking about, not being one foot out the door, not every time something isn't going right and you're in a season. Because I know for 30 years, everything ain't been on the up and up the whole 30 years. We have to go through some things, you know? Just in my 14 years marriage, there's high, you know, we went through enough highs and lows. So, you know, there are seasons where, I don't like you so much. But I'm choosing to love you anyways. You know what I mean? I've committed to this thing with you and I want to keep on committing with you. That's so important. What did Maya say? I highly recommend doing the right thing regardless of the other party. God rewards. Also, round the corners, ladies. You say, ask anything, just put love in your tone. Oh, that's right. That's what I'm trying to love in my tone. Did you hear my story earlier? How I've been trying to talk sweeter to my kids.
That's so sweet. That is so true. One of my wonderful, she's my spiritual mom. She says exactly that. She said, you know, you can get whatever you want from your man. You don't have to go sneak and go shopping, you know, and hide your clothes when they come. She said, just put them on and just, you know, show them what you want.
I love that wisdom.
Like, I am note taken. Yeah, she said, do everything with love. She said, love goes a long way. That's what she said. I agree, Maya. Thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got everybody chatting and everything. So we have a game. What's the word? Okay. What's the word? We quoted the scripture. What's the word? What is the theme for tonight and what we need to do, whether you're in the season of solitude or, you know, even like Tony said, you know, in her 30-year marriage. Okay. What are we called to do? It came from the scripture, Philippians 4:12-13. There's a theme of that scripture. What is the theme?
Okay. So I'm going to give you some scenarios. In the moments of feeling lonely and those moments of feeling having lustful desires, single ladies or men, in the moments of missing companionship or being in a marriage and not feeling companionship or having two income households for the women that are divorced, what is God calling us to do in our season of solitude? Today and always, regardless of singleness or marriage.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, that came from the scripture, but we're looking
you know, that's a good one, Tony.
A little further up, y'all. What are we looking for? How do we need to be in this moment, regardless of how we feel? Come on, Maya.
Yes. That is our word for the week.
Be content. I love it. Oh my gosh, you guys, this has been amazing. We're going to have a great season. We have a lot of good topics related to singleness. Married ladies, please keep joining. We need your wisdom and all the listeners need your wisdom. You know, it's an inspiration, especially to our generation and the high rate of divorce. You know, there's the U.S. is one of the highest divorce rates. And in the U.S., 69% of divorces are initiated by women. And so we're primarily a women's group. And that we need to hear that 69% is initiated by women. That's a big deal. So let's transform, you know, let's become the best version of ourselves. So we're attracting what is meant for us and loosen control and letting God do his work. So
yes,
we'll be back next week. Follow us. We have a TikTok and we also have an Instagram page. Be Transform Official is Instagram and Be Transform on TikTok. Please follow. We love you guys. Let's pray out. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for just being almighty, you know, for being the mighty Elohim, for your all-consuming power, raining down on this moment, God. We ask that everything that was discussed in this season, whether in a season of solitude, whether in a season of abundance in relationship, for those who just may be feeling a little lackluster, and even in their marriages, God, that there be a replenishing, a revitalization of feeling content in the circumstance, finding peace in where we are, finding the happiness and the purpose that you've called us to in this season, in this moment in our lives, God. We ask that you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. We ask that you touch them in a mighty way where they sit, where they stand, where they lay. Let them walk afresh and new, knowing that your grace and mercy has abound in their life, God, and that we can do all things in every season that we're in that you've called us to, God. So those who are feeling lonely, God, restore their happiness. Let them find the love and the grace that surrounds them in their life outside of being in a partnership, in a spouse relationship, or in a love relationship, God. Let them find the love that you have ordained to be surrounded by family members, friends, coworkers, God. There is such an abundance of gift that you have blessed us with. Open our eyes and be the revelation that we need so that we can thrive in your ways and in your will, and we declare that is so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Be transformed.
This is a Testimony Media Production.